One more time.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Good evening, everybody.
Evening.
Thank you for, depending on how you felt about it, either enduring or participating. Or participating and enduring with the photography. We, we've been wondering for years how to do outreach, and outreach came to us, so the photographs will be part of that when they do this article in Aqua magazine. So thank you for giving up some of your meditation time to help with the article. I think those of you who have been to Sesshin know that there's always a quote at the top of the guidelines from Tozan Senji. When you understand self, which includes everything, you have your true way. And this comes from a poem that Tozan Zenji wrote that that was pretty much Suzuki Roshi's favorite poem. And what comes before that in the poem is a reflection of this experience Tozan had, which led him to write that poem. Tozan was walking, and he had to cross a bridge. And as he walked across the bridge, he saw his shadow or reflection on the water. I guess the sun was, you know, just at that right angle. And when he saw it, he realized, that's not me. And usually when we see our reflection, we think, oh, that's me. Like in the mirror, we say, oh, how do I look today? You know, or, you know, something like that. Or we see our reflection in the water, and like Narcissus, we become entranced with that wonderful figure. Oh, look at that. There I am in the water. Tozan, isn't that true? Don't you sort of look at your reflection and think it's you? We can explore what other reflections we look at. For example, our ideas about ourselves. How's that for a reflection that we think is us? We say, oh, I'm a good person, or I'm not a good person, or I should be a better person because I'm, you know, I can do that. And we talk about ourselves as if we're outside ourselves. You know, we can see ourselves outside. We talk about basically all of these kinds of reflections of ourselves as if it's really us. And what Tozan realized was, that's not me. And so there are some lines in this poem that come before that final line, those final two lines, in which he says, you yourself are not an object which you can see. Now, isn't that interesting? You are not an object which you can see. And yet if I was to say, okay, now tell me all about yourself. Now, no lies, okay? I want you to tell me all about yourself. Make every statement true. What you would be doing is you would be giving me one reflection after another. And you would really believe it. Because, you know, as good people, you would be trying to do what was asked of you. Really tell me all about you, the real you. And yet, all you would be doing is telling me your ideas about yourself. Isn't that interesting? Turns out that it's very hard to know the actual self. It's very hard to see, to encounter, to know, and to find some way to express what we actually are. Not our ideas, not our reflections, not our conceptions, not our thoughts about ourselves, not how we feel about ourselves, but what we actually are. Which is why in Zen, and we say, what is it? It sounds like a simple question. Oh, what's that? Oh, it's a microphone. What is it? When you look at the self, you say, what is it? Or who are you? Or, you know, someone asks a teacher a question, and the teacher may say, who's asking? And then, you know, if the person says, me, or I am, you know, they get 30 blows, or, you know, get kicked out of the room. Because it's just foolishness. superficial understanding of what the self is. So Tozan said, you basically cannot see yourself as an object. You are not an object which is given to you to see. And then he goes on to say at the end, when you understand self, which includes everything, you have your true way. So he actually is, in Zen we call it giving grandmotherly advice. He's very kind. He's making it easy on us. He's sort of easy. Because we don't really know what it means, a self that includes everything. We just have more ideas about that. Right? More reflections, more thoughts, more feelings. We feel everything as if everything is an empty wine glass and we just pour in all of that stuff. And we call that reality. But our practice is not based on such things. It is actually very difficult to touch the self. Very, very difficult to actually touch the self, be the self, know the self, and express the self. And the reason is that all those reflections are in our way. All those thoughts, all those feelings, all those conceptions, all those ideas stand between us and what we truly are. And all of those, that whole list, all those thoughts and feelings and reflections, associations and ideas, and all the inherited notions about ourselves that we got from our childhoods, very thick. But it's just the soul. It's just the surface. It is not the actual self. In our practice, we aim from the actual self to the actual self. And what's tricky is that right in the middle of that is the concept called no self. So the actual self to the actual self is based on what we say is no self. And no self, in a way, we can say it, no self means self which includes everything. Does that make sense to you? No self means no separate self. None of that superficial stuff I've been talking about. No self is the actual self of all things that are right here and right now. But we don't know what we are. And we don't believe what we are. And so we practice and we see in the silence and stillness of our meditation. We see one layer after another, one dream after another, show up and disappear, show up and disappear, show up and disappear, over and over and over again. Thanks to impermanence, we get to see the whole show. It's just one image of ourselves after another. Show up and disappear. Oh, it's this one. No, it's this one. Oh, look, it's this one. No, it's this one. On and on and on and on and on until we finally really start to get the game. We really see the game and we see how when we attach to those versions of the self, those superficial versions of the self, we are in deep trouble. Because they're just a dream. The actual self is not involved in that activity. And so gradually, by sitting through this movie, a bit of quiet begins to enter our being. Or, let's say it the proper way, a bit of quiet begins to emerge as our being. A bit of spaciousness begins to be experienced as we experience our being. And all Buddha Tathagatas, we are told, experience the very same thing. It is not dependent upon good person, bad person, Simone person, Roman person, Annika person. It is not dependent upon that. All Buddha Tathagatas, all Buddhas, begin to experience this, what's called receptive samadhi, this stillness and spaciousness that does not belong to anybody, but that is at the core of what we are. The more we do that, the more this game that I'm talking about, this game of the psyche, becomes transparent. The more we can see through it, and the more we see through it, the less disturbed we are by it. And this is very, very important. The less excited or depressed, the less entranced or repelled, depending on which movie is playing. Mm-hmm. Right? We just sit still in the midst of it, and the movie plays, and gradually, through the stillness and the silence that emerges, and the spaciousness that emerges, a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger experience called no self begins to be what is the content of our being, and we can actually experience it, and actually experience it. The more we're willing to sit and endure all those versions, just like we sat and endured somebody objectifying us with a camera tonight, taking pictures, right, of us. And we're all sitting there projecting, projecting. It was lovely. And, you know, we came here to do that. We came here to sit quietly so someone can take a picture. Who knows what people think when they see it. But the more we do that, the more we're able actually to have a container for all of that delusive, superficial, mental, and emotional activity. The more equanimity we have as we face those movies inside of ourselves, the more serenity we have as we see those movies, the less, engaged that we are. When we allow ourselves to just drop it, just let it go in the way that I'm talking about, and then we encounter, just temporarily, we'll say, someone else. The ability to engage true self with what comes has become stronger. And so no matter what comes, the less disturbed, the less perturbed, the less excited by some fantasy of what's coming our way, the more we just simply can meet what's actually there. You understand that, right? You understand how that works. And so, again, the more peace we can actually bring into the world, the more clarity we can actually bring into the world, the more equanimity and serenity we can actually bring to the world. Not equanimity, serenity, peace, and clarity that belongs to us. It's not ours. This is the receptive samadhi, or aspects of it that all Buddhas experience as their nature. Dogen is very, very clear about it. It's the very first thing he says in Endeavor of the Way. Receptive samadhi is its mark. All Buddha Tathagatas have a wondrous art. Receptive samadhi is its mark. That's what he says. So that as you sit, it's not that you're working for it, but we should have some confidence that it's okay to let it all go. And have some trust in our nature. It's okay to let it go. I won't die. I'll actually come alive in a way that I may never have experienced before. not so controlled, not so controlling, not so invested in the illusion of what I think I am or what others tell me I am. Then the bigness of what we are, that self which includes everything, will become manifest and expressed as our life, not in our life, as our life. Our life expresses the boundlessness we are. You know, in the Heart Sutra tonight, when we chanted, boundlessness is not limited by form. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The form no longer limits the full expression of boundlessness. Doesn't that sound kind of good to you? That's what we're doing. So that's a kind of lot of words to say this simple thing, but sometimes I think we should make some attempt to clarify what this activity is and what some of the parameters are and how it functions. And I thought that tonight would be a good idea because we were having our picture taken. Because an image was being produced, just like we do all the time with our minds. So, I thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed my photographic essay. And I don't know what time it is. What time is it?
1:45.
Oh. Let's not miss the opportunity to end on time. It's so rare.